Letter with no address. Your daffodils rose up and collapsed in their yellow bodies on the hillside garden above the bricks you laid out in sand, squatting with pants pegged and face masked like a beekeeper's against the black flies. Buttercups circle the planks of the old wellhead this May, while your silken gardener's body withers or molds in the Proctor graveyard. I drive and talk to you crying and come back to this house to talk to your photographs. There's news to tell you. Maggie Fisher's pregnant. I carried myself like an egg at Abigail's birthday party a week after you died, as three-year-olds bounced uproarious on a mattress. Joyce and I met for lunch at the mall and strolled weepily through Sears and B. Dalton. Today it's 4 weeks since you lay on our painted bed and I closed your eyes. Yesterday I cut irises to set in a pitcher on your grave. Today I brought a carafe to fill it with fresh water. I remember bone pain, vomiting, delirium. I remember bond afternoons. My routine is established. Coffee, the globe, breakfast, writing you this letter at my desk. When I go to bed to sleep after baseball, Gus follows me into the bedroom, as he used to follow us. Most of the time he flops down in the parlor with his head on his paws. Once a week I drive to Tilton to see Dick and Nan. Nan doesn't understand much, but she knows you're dead. I feel her fretting. The tune of Dick and me talking seems to console her. You know now whether the soul survives death, or you don't. When you were dying, you said you didn't fear punishment. We never dared to speak of paradise. At 5 a.m. when I walk outside, mist lies thick on hayfields. By 8 the air is clear, cool, sunny with the pale yellow light of mid-May. Kearsarge rises huge and distinct, each birch and balsam visible. To the west, the waters of Eagle Pond waver and flash through popples just leafing out. Always the weather, writing its book of the world, returns you to me. Ordinary days were best when we worked over poems in our separate rooms. I remember watching you gaze out the January window into the garden of snow and ice, your face wrapped as you imagined burgundy lilies. Your presence in this house is almost as enormous and painful as your absence. Driving home from Tilton, I remember how you cherished that vista with its center, the red door of a farmhouse against green fields. Are you past pity? If you have consciousness now, if something I can call you has something like consciousness, I doubt you remember the last days. I play them over and over. I lift your wasted body onto the commode, your arms looped around my neck, aiming your bony bottom so that it will not bruise on a rail. Faintly you repeat, "Mama, Mama." 3 times today I drove to your grave. Sometimes, coming back home to our circular driveway, I imagine you've returned before me, bags of groceries upright in the back of the Saab, its trunk lid delicately raised, as if proposing an encounter, dog fashion, with the Honda.